At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Listen, it's October. It's the month of Halloween. So many of us look forward to this every year, but of all of us that look forward to Halloween, who do you think is most impacted by this month? It's the kids, right? This is the part we used to live for. I mean, I remember coming home from school at 3:30 in the afternoon, getting into my costume, grabbing the biggest pillowcase I could possibly find, and then heading out. Me and my buddies would walk to the other side of town so that we could get as far away from our home as we could, and we had it timed out so we knew what streets to hit, making our way back home to our house, so that by the end of the evening, we were back with a full sack of candy. Now, of course, those times have changed. Kids aren't out there by themselves so much anymore. You have close parents and everything, but that's a part of our youth and our innocence that was kind of stolen from us through history. But I've got a unique perspective on Halloween and the paranormal. I'm very lucky to get to do a job I love to do, radio, and talk about one of my favorite topics, the paranormal. I'm also extremely lucky because in my life, I have people that support what I do and are interested in what I do. Tonight, we're going to talk about the paranormal from a unique perspective. This is something we've never done before. It's a fun little experiment, and I thought it was about time you got to know a little bit more about your pal, Darkness Dave. So tonight, joining me on the show and talking about the paranormal, I'm going to flip the microphone around for once. I'm going to give a couple of people an opportunity to ask me questions. We're going to have a nice little rolling dialogue about the paranormal. But joining me tonight, I'm very excited, two of my daughters, Pacey and Ripley, and they're here to join me this evening to talk about the paranormal, any questions they have, anything that they want to know, and things that frighten them, things that make them laugh, things that make them roll their eyes when it comes to the paranormal, because this is an important part of it. It's not just about the thrills and chills. It's about education and understanding why we do what we do with this show and why people are so fascinated by the paranormal. So joining me first up, my third eldest daughter now, this is a new proposition for all of us, right, is my daughter Pacey. Good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening.
No reason to be nervous. All right, Paranormal Pacey, you've been on the air with me before. Now, you've got a dad who has been on TV, who is a radio show host, who's been an author. Should I continue bragging about how cool I really am?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Well, it was worth a shot. Are you interested, and this is what everybody always asks me, are your kids interested in the paranormal as well? Are you interested and fascinated by things that go bump in the night?
Yeah. Usually when I hear things at nighttime or hear things in general, I'm always, kind of like curious on what it was. If it was just the cats running around or if it was the little boy from the attic, you know.
Now, what about that? I mean, we've talked about it openly on my radio show that I think we have a ghost in our home and that it appears to be a little boy. Mm-hmm. Now, I've physically seen him, as have a few of my friends. We've heard him. But have you ever actually seen or heard anything in this house that you think is a ghost?
I mean, a couple times I've seen a few things, figures, people in the mirror that weren't there. And I mean,
wait a minute. When did this happen? And why are you sounding so matter-of-fact about it?
What do you mean?
Well, you're just like, yeah, well, I guess once in a while I see reflections of people in a mirror. That's something that would make Dad poop his pants. Why aren't you telling me about these?
Well, you know, sometimes I need to make sure that I'm looking good, so I look at myself in the mirror downstairs. And the first time, I mean, I got a little scared, because the one thing that I thought has always been the scariest seeing things in the mirror, and...
Now, wait a minute. When you say you've seen things in the mirror, I need you to explain to me exactly. Have you seen multiple people, meaning more than one, at the same time in the mirror, or do you just see one person at a time?
One person at a time.
And are they always different people?
Yes.
Do you ever recognize these people?
I mean, no.
No?
The first time that I saw someone, it was... He was looking around the corner at me, and he was just white, no face, no hair, nothing.
Are you sure that just wasn't the back of Dad's head?
Yeah, I'm sure, because it was only me. I was home alone, and I was looking in the mirror at my hair and everything. The second time...
Now, wait a minute. Don't just fly over that. The first time you saw something with no face, and it was in the mirror, how do you remember? I mean, how did that make you feel?
I mean... I've grown up hearing all these stories and stuff, so it's not like I grabbed a knife and was like, who's in my house? I just walked into the living room. I'm like, hello, who's there? I didn't hear anything or anything. Nobody was out there. Went back to the mirror, started playing with my hair again.
So being the daughter of Darkness Dave has treated you well. You're not afraid of just everything that goes bump in the night.
No.
All right, Ripley, well, what about you? Have you ever seen or felt something like a ghost in our house?
No, but the only time that I've heard or seen anything is when you told me about the little boy who ran up and down the stairs, and that's pretty much it.
Right, we've got this resident ghost who lives in our house, and he doesn't seem scary. He never does anything. It just... seems to be energy of a child running up and down the stairs, playing upstairs, running about. So he's never been really somebody to frighten me. But let me ask you this, Pacey. If I could tell you that right now, outside that door, was a ghost, you could open that door. I promise they're not going to be all scary and bloody and creepy, but it's a real ghost. And you could talk to this ghost and ask any three questions you possibly want. Would you do it, or would you be afraid to talk to a ghost?
I would for sure do it. I think that it would be really cool to talk to the spirit.
Yeah, so what would be your first question to a ghost?
What did it feel like when you passed away?
That's a good question. I think that would be my very first question, is wanting to know, what does it feel like to die? Because, you know, I mean, that's been my big fear my whole life, is what is it like to die? And I have this overwhelming fear of death that just freaks me out. It's kept me awake since I was a little kid. And there are nights still at the tender age. I mean, I'm about to turn 35, guys. And what? What was that? What? 38? I'm gonna almost be 40 years old this year.
Oh.
All right, 50. I'm going to be 50 in November. And it still kind of plagues me, the fear of death, which I think is good, right? I mean, it's a healthy idea to be afraid of death. We don't want it to happen.
Yeah.
Well, am I speaking for myself here? I know there are days you wish Dad was gone, but...
No.
But the idea of the fear of death, yeah, I would love to ask a spirit. I mean, if I knew I could open that door and grandma or my grandpa would be behind it, my first question would be, what was it actually like in that moment of death? Do you think that would scare you to find that answer out?
No, because I think that would probably be a pretty peaceful way. Not, you know, seeing... I don't think it would be very bad, anything that you... really experienced as you were mm-hmm. like as you were going into your way of, you know.
Well, I mean, I think the general fear of death is nobody wants to die a painful or horrific way, right? Nobody wants to die in a fiery plane crash or being murdered, right? And I'm not even, that isn't even part of my fear. Now, I've probably made it both part of your fears, but it's not part of my fear. Ripley, I mean, do you ever have a fear of death?
Yes, I do. I think about it sometimes because when, I don't know. But okay. I do have a fear of death.
Really? And when you're having those moments, what does it make you feel like? Are you afraid of it just coming too soon? Or are you just afraid of not being here someday?
Well, it's kind of both of those. And it's also of me losing my family and people I love and stuff.
That makes good sense. I understand that completely. All right. Ghost, do you think that if you were to go today, would you want to stay here as a ghost, Pacey?
Yes. I think so.
Why? Because you're not complete making my life hell while you're alive? You're going to want to stay?
I would want to have, like, I would want God to gift me so that I could be able to come back to Earth and go to heaven whenever I wanted.
Okay. All right. That's a good thing. But you would want to come back and forth?
Yes.
Now, what would you do with that ability? Would you really want to come hang out with your boring old family? Or would you want to go to Graceland or go to Disneyland every day as a ghost and hang out? What would you really want to do if you could do that?
Well, the reason why I would want to come back is because I want to, you know, see how my family's doing and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe show them signs that I'm okay and stuff like that. And that...
Don't you think it'd be sad, though, that you couldn't really hold their hand anymore? You couldn't be there for them. See, that's the part that scares me. I would want to stay. I've always told people, because of you guys, I would want to stay as a ghost just to be around and watch you grow up and watch you have families and lives. But I think the sad part, and I wonder if that's why ghosts are so tormented, is that they don't get to hold your hand anymore. They don't get to hold you and cuddle you. So, I mean, do you think you'd end up being sad if you were a ghost?
Yeah, probably a lot.
These are the deep, dark questions that we talk about here in the Schrader House. You know, but it's talking it out and educating ourselves about it that makes it not quite as scary, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've said that, yeah, you would want to talk to a ghost. Now, I'm curious, Ripley, what about you? If you could talk to a ghost, would you want to?
Yes, because I would want to know... like how old it was when he or she passed away, and I would just want to know some questions about it and like how they died and stuff like that.
All right. Well, once you get past that, what, you know, like my question would be, can you feel? Right. I mean, are you just like a cloud of smoke, or can you physically feel things? If somebody gives you a hug, you know, and just squeezes the air, do the spirits actually feel that? You know, I'd also want to know, can they hear our thoughts? Oh, boy, how much trouble would we all be in if the ghost could hear our thoughts? What other questions do you think you'd want to know?
Maybe if they miss their family, or if they like if they ever just stay with their family, or if they go off to other places and stuff like that, or if they just stay in one place.
Now, you've heard Dad talk about things like ghosts and demons and UFOs and aliens and Bigfoot and other kind of monsters like that. Is there any part of the paranormal or supernatural that you just are so freaked out by you don't want to know, you don't want to come into contact with it?
No, not really. The only thing that really scares me, or like that I don't like talking about, is black-eyed kids.
All right. What about you, Pacey?
Black-eyed kids. They freak me out. Before the first time I went ghost hunting, the one thing that scared me the most was ghost children. Now that I have ghost hunted and there's been children stuff around children, like spirit children, that doesn't freak me out anymore. I just think that it's pretty, like, I think it's cute.
Why do you think that kids' ghosts would stay behind? Don't you think that they should be off to heaven or somewhere else enjoying the afterlife instead of being trapped in a dusty, musty old hotel?
Well, I mean, there's so many, like, I don't know, like, conspiracy theory things that, is that what you would call it?
Well, so theories. Many, there's different theories, right?
And I really don't know which one, because there's so many. I kind of believe just all of them. I kind of, like, have little parts of each theory that I believe.
So here are some of the theories of why children's ghosts stay around. First of all, it could be that they're truly lost and they don't know what to do or where to go. That's the part that really breaks my heart and makes me feel sad, right? Now, there's some upsides to this, guys, that people forget about. Our souls may be a lot older than we are, right? I mean, my soul may be much older than my 34-year-old physical body here. Why do you keep laughing? All right, so my soul, you know, if it's been reincarnated and I've lived before once or twice or 100 times, my soul is not that old. But maybe if I died as a child, I decided to stay as a child. And you see it and you think, child, but what's really going on is it's an adult spirit, but it just chooses to stay in the guise of what it's most comfortable in. That is the one that makes me the most comfortable thinking about. Because I would be horrified to think that children's ghosts would just be stuck here lingering around. I give both of you permission to go to the light. Don't hang around. I would want you to be happy and move on. I would not want you to feel like you're trapped here or stuck here or that you have to stay for daddy. Right? I mean, God forbid that will never happen. But that's something that, you know, I've tried to promise myself, too, is that, you know, I wouldn't want to be a burden to my family as a spirit. Now, in living flesh, I'm going to be a burden to you guys till I'm 108 years old. I plan on that. There will be diaper changing. I had to change yours. You're going to have to change mine as I get older.
No, thanks.
Living in my basement.
Oh, thank you. Brought what, chained to the wall and getting a hose every morning? So the one theory is that they're lost. The other theory is that they're really an old spirit. Sometimes the theory is that, you know, well, that's grandma's ghost as a child. But grandma died when she was 70. How can she be a child? Well, maybe if grandma really loved this location when she was a child, that's her fondest memory. So that's how she comes back. That's how she wants to be seen and remembered. Because I'll tell you what, guys, when you see my ghost, it will look like 1985 Dave, okay? It's going to have torn jeans and blue and Bruce Springsteen t-shirt and headbands. You've seen my pictures. That's how I'd want to look when I come back as a ghost. Wouldn't you want to look the best that you felt in your life?
Yes.
Right. And as kids, maybe that was the funnest time, hanging out with daddy. So you'd want to, even though you're 800 years old when you die, maybe remembering how fun it was to live with dad and do this stupid interview. This will make you want to stay in that mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I know that, you know, I don't want our listeners to have fear of death. I don't want to have fear of death. I think mine is a healthy thing because it keeps me driven to continue to ask these questions to understand the paranormal and try to get to those answers. And I know that if we could know, you know, there are some mediums and psychics. People ask, when will I die? How old will I be? Would you want to know that, Pacey? If you could be told today how old you will be when it's your time, would you really want to know?
Yes, because I would want to live up to the way that I wanted to live, be able to do everything that I want to do, and, you
just
know?
Just take advantage of
life.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Ripley? Would you want to know?
Yes, because then I can do, like, good things and, like, try to make the best out of it and, like, not do anything super dangerous or dangerous that might change how old I die.
All right, well, let me... Come here, girls. Get in close. I'm going to give you a big secret right now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know how old you're going to be to lead a good life. Here's a really neat thing you should live. Every day as though tomorrow may be your last day. You never want to leave things on the table unsaid, right? You know Grandma and I had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Grandma and I told each other what every day?
That you love each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. We always told each other what we thought and how we felt. So you don't have to wait till you found out how old you're going to be to start living a good life. You can lead a good life right now. As a matter of fact, I'd love for you both to be a lot nicer and a lot more kind to one another and to your other brothers and sisters. But try to take that aspect of life. Lead life as though tomorrow may be your last day here. And honestly, how do you think you would treat people if you knew tomorrow was that girl next to you's last day? Would you be nicer to that girl?
Yeah.
Would you be kinder?
Yes.
How about you, Ripley?
Yes, even though I'm already kind.
Right. Well, that's important that you think so. Here's how you need to live, though. Be good. Just be good all the time. Be kind. Be caring to one another. And live life to the fullest. I want you guys to have the greatest experiences. I want you to see amazing things. Don't hold yourself back. Don't wait till you find out you're going to die to start living. Because isn't that a shame that we worry so much that sometimes we forget to live in the moment and enjoy those moments, right? So it's important that we all learn to live like every day could be our last day and treat everybody like it could be their last day so that we leave the best things the way we could. Because like if Dad went tomorrow, you'd want to talk to me again, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You'd want to reach out through a medium or a psychic and try to connect with Daddy, right?
Uh-huh.
If we've said it all, there's no need for that. You don't have to feel that broken vibe, right? You can feel like we've done it. We've said it. We loved to the fullest extent we possibly could. And wouldn't that be a much better way to live our lives?
Yes.
All right. So be kind, be loving. And as a matter of fact, that brings me to a great point. Every year we do our Halloween for Hunger campaign. This is with Second Harvest Heartland. Second Harvest Heartland is one of the largest food service shelters in the United States, and they help America's heartland. This is going to stay right in the United States. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, people that you may not even know need this service. And check this out, girls. This is really cool. With every $1 that we get donated, it feeds one person 3 square meals a day. If I gave you a dollar right now, Pacey, right? How many meals do you think you could get off that $1 today?
A Lunchable.
Right. A 99-cent Lunchable. So you might eat one meal, right? How about you, Ripley? How many meals do you think you could get?
Probably like one or two.
Right. But what if I could supply 3 meals to a family in need? We're a pretty lucky family. We have our food. We have our roof. We have our clothes. We're in good places. Well, we've already raised a couple $1,000 already in our drive for Second Harvest Heartland. And their buying power is such that every $1 delivers 3 meals to somebody in need. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to start off the bid right here. I'm going to donate $100 from the Schrader family as part of this to help kick the numbers back up. Now, you guys, I know you get some money. You've got some birthday money, Christmas money kicking around. What do you think you'd want to do, Pacey? Do you want to help out on this and make life better for somebody else right now?
Yes.
All right. How much are you going to donate?
$5.
Wait, how much?
$5.
That means you're going to supply 15 meals to people in need. That's pretty cool. $5, so I can put you down for $5.
$5.
All right, Ripley, how much are you going to put in?
$5.
$5? Where did you get all this money?
My grandma.
Okay. Well, that's going to spend 15 meals as well, so that's a great place to be. So from the Schrader family, we're going to put in $110. And I bet if we go shake your brother's pockets, we can come up with a couple more dollars. We just won't tell him, right? So we'll make our donation, and here's how you all can make your donation. You can live life right. You can do good things today by going to darknessradio.com, then click on the link that says Halloween for Hunger. Second Harvest Heartland, Halloween for Hunger. Click on that, make any size donation. Literally every dollar that you donate goes to help feed one person 3 square meals a day. So there is no too small a donation that could be made. So please help us out. If all of you just did the same thing and made a $1 donation or a $5 donation like my daughters have done, we could make a huge difference. This is a time of crisis in the United States. Let's all come together to help and do what we can to make life better. All right. Let's get going now, girls. You're my daughters. You see a lot of what I do, what I experience, what I'm interested in. And I know that you have questions, and sometimes I answer it. Sometimes I'm kind of evasive, and sometimes I just flat out refuse to answer because I know the only reason you want to talk to me is you want to stay up a few more minutes at bedtime, right? Okay, so I'm going to give you a chance, Pacey. What one question, what do you really want to know about the paranormal or about Dad and the paranormal? What's always been something in the back of your mind?
Well, I've always wanted to know. Because I'm scared of the Black Eyed Kid. I want to know if you believe in them. And every single time that I've asked you, you're like, you know.
Am I like that? You know?
Yep.
All right. Well, let me alter our microphone here. Hopefully that'll make it a little bit better for everybody to hear all of us. Do I believe in the Black Eyed Kids? Well, the Black Eyed Kids are a really fascinating phenomena. Right. They fit in under the guise of or under the kind of subject of urban legend. Do you guys know what urban legends are?
Kind of.
Right. Right. Urban legends are kind of like, you know, the guy with the hook hand who escaped from the lunatic asylum and goes up to Lover's Lane to kill all the lovers. And then the car hears it over the radio that there's a killer loose, and they pull out quickly and they get home, and the guy gets out of the car and goes around to open his girlfriend's door. And there hanging on the door is a bloody hook. They were that close to meeting the hook hand killer, right? That's kind of urban legendy. And there are stories like that all across the world, right? Well, the Black Eyed Kid story first came to us, and it sounded very much like an urban legend. It sounded too good to be true. But then I started hearing from people from all walks of life, people that have had experiences in other countries. And then when some of the military and some law enforcement people started telling me about these stories, I started taking them a little bit more seriously, because I thought there's got to be something to this. And it could be that what we put our minds to, we start to create, we start to give power to. So maybe one person had an experience that kind of scared them, and they mistook what they saw for a black-eyed kid, but they put that into the world, into the universe. And now thousands and millions of people around the world have heard about the Black Eyed Kids, and more people are seeing them. So are they truly seeing them, or are they seeing kind of projections from other people's minds, creations that we've put out there? That's why I don't know if you guys realize just how powerful our minds really are. We can create things. And that's why I don't like when you guys talk bad about yourselves or about others, because when you say those words, they have power. And when you talk down about yourself, it creates that link in your head, and you begin to make that a reality. So that's why you always have to talk positive about who you are, right? What does Dad make you say every morning before school?
I'm smart, I'm kind, I'm important, and I'm beautiful, and my daddy strong, and I'm fierce, and I'm healthy, and my daddy loves me very, very much.
Right. See? And that's not just rhetoric that I heard from a movie. I mean, it basically is. But I think it's an important lesson that we have to learn to trust in the words that we say, right? And sometimes with the paranormal, I think that when there is that much power given to something, that it might kind of take a life of its own. But I don't know if it's necessarily physically there, or is it a projection from our mind. So that's one aspect of the story that intrigues me. However, I do have to be honest with you, and I know that there are people that don't know anything about the Black Eyed Kids, and they're having experiences. So could it be a projection from their mind? How could it be? They didn't even know this thing existed. So I think there's something more to this story. And I tend to believe that these are soulless alien human hybrids. They've been bred by aliens. They've been concocted in some kind of strange science fair experiment, gone crazy. And now they're just looking for souls. So I think that that may be what they are, and that's why they make people feel so off-putting, and they have to get permission to enter your home or get into your car. And I think that that may be what it is. But I've never seen one. I have no interest in seeing one. And the closest I want to get to a pair of black-eyed kids is you two. If you don't keep listening, pow, pow, that's when you're going to get your black eyes. But that's the extent of what I believe in the Black-Eyed Kids. What do you think? Do you think that something like that could exist, that there could be these mysterious beings with all jet black eyes that are out there knocking on doors and windows, trying to get into your home, trying to get into your car?
I mean, there's so many different kinds of creatures and monsters and all that kinds of stuff. Maybe is that.
Oh, you're going to be a good politician. You refuse to stick to one side or the other. Do you believe in the paranormal, first of all? Or do you think your dad's just crazy and this is all imagination?
I believe in the paranormal.
Okay, you do. What about you, Ripley? Do you believe in the paranormal?
Yes.
Okay. And I know you were talking about all these other things and creatures. See, one of the lines I've always drawn is, what about fairies? Fairies have always sounded kind of silly to me. Like, that couldn't be something that's real, right? That sounds like a part of folklore. Which reminds me, Pacey, you and I, we got to watch the other day the very first episode of Lore on Amazon Prime. It's part of that new 6-part series. And we had a chance to watch that together. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. I loved how they took, you know, like those history.
Like real pieces of history. Uh-huh. Real stories, like the vampire Mercy Brown, right? Or Robert the Doll. And they look at this kind of urban legend history of it, the folklore of it, and separate fact from fiction. That's what I thought they did really well on these episodes, and that's what intrigued me most about them. They leave you kind of spooked, right? Because they're kind of examining different parts of our world that maybe we didn't believe really existed, or we believed, but it's always been on the kind of our fringe part of our mind, right? So I love that. Amazon Prime exclusive Lore. That's a chilling 6-episode anthology series. And they've got one of the executive producers of The Walking Dead and one of the executive producers of The X-Files, two of my all-time favorite shows based on this podcast phenomena that has got over 70 million downloads. It's from the creator and narrator Aaron Mankey, and it explores some of the most terrifying tales throughout history. And then each one uniquely creepy in their own right, and they take a myth that's rooted in historical folklore, like we've talked about, and then they twist it, exposing these timeless terrors that still haunt us today. Real life can scare you to death. Make sure you check it out. It opened up on the 13th on Amazon Prime. It's available right now. Watch it exclusively on Amazon Prime Video. We've got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more as we examine the paranormal from the kids' perspective. And what are their thoughts? I'm going to ask you girls what you think some of these things are. And I want to know about aliens and Bigfoot and ghosts. And what do you really think we're experiencing? We'll do that when we return to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
Hello, welcome back. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Beyond the Darkness in our episode, Children of the Darkness. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and joining me this evening, two of the loveliest parts of my darkness universe, lovely Miss Ripley. Welcome to the show, Ripley.
Hi.
And my daughter, Paranormal Pacey. Pacey, welcome back.
Hello, everyone.
That's going to be your intro? Hello, everyone. All right. Let's get back to this. Now, I'm curious. Get in close. I want you guys to get by the microphone so I can hear you. I want to know what your thoughts are. I mean, what do you really think? And Ripley, I'm going to start with you this time. What do you think of Bigfoot? Do you believe that that's a real creature, or do you think it's just people mistaking animals for something else?
I do believe in him because, but I don't. I do believe in him because I don't think there's an animal that big with that big of feet. Second off.
Wait, are you kidding me? You do realize that you have a almost 16-year-old brother with 15-inch feet. You've got an older brother who's, I think Nathan's got like 18, size 18 shoes. Your brother Cliff's probably like 32 size shoes. They're huge feet. How do you believe there's no animal with feet that big?
I mean, Linus and all them are animals, but still, I don't believe in them because, I don't know.
Because you just don't believe that there are that big of an animal that could stay hidden that well?
Yeah, because they would be probably like above the trees and taller than the trees and stuff like that.
Well, they're not that big. You know, most of the Bigfoot are only like 9 feet tall to 10 feet tall.
But trees are like that big.
Well, in our town, yeah. But when you go into the actual woods, I don't think there's many Bigfoot that are seen in our town. Just your brother when he's out walking around. All right, Pacey, what do you think? Bigfoot. Do you believe that Bigfoot is a real creature, or do you believe it's just people's imaginations?
I'm not quite sure about that one because I'm kind of so-so on that one because half of me thinks, yeah, they're real because I've heard stories. You've had personal
experience with Bigfoot, and I mean, like you said, when Ripley was talking, there, how would a creature that big and that tall and that huge be able to stay hidden for that long?
Do you guys want to know something pretty interesting? Right? You've gone to the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen gorillas, right? Did you know that less than 200 years ago, no one believed gorillas existed?
What? Seriously?
Yeah.
So they could be
They talked about the giant hairy man, the wild man, but nobody believed that they existed. It was only like within the last 160 years that gorillas were actually found.
Seriously?
I wouldn't kid you about that. You guys should do some research in school and find out about that. It's fascinating stuff. So see how an animal could, theoretically, stay away from people?
I mean,
like unicorns.
Yeah. You know what unicorns really were, right?
Mm-hmm.
What were they?
There's been
I can't,
a lot
your,
of
your eyebrows arching can't do it. Most likely it was a rhinoceros is what the original unicorn mm-hmm. was. Or maybe it was the narwhal mm-hmm. whale.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, that's definitely one horn.
Mm-hmm. I've heard stories like the unicorns were old creatures that people used to kill for their juices and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, like the unicorn juice.
Hurry up now, and if you order quick, you're going to get a sack of unicorn juice.
Oh, like they used to.
Well, right, but those are part of the old fables, right? You know, they refer to unicorns in the Bible. Did you know that?
Yeah.
I think it's a rhinoceros. I really do. I think that's what a unicorn was. Because think about it. It's big. It's like a cow or a horse with one horn.
But
sometimes
I'm a unicorn.
Two. What?
But I'm a unicorn.
Well, you're a unicorn of a different breed. All right. So you're not too sure you believe in Bigfoot, but you think that that's a possibility, Pacey.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think when I say fairies? Do you believe that there are really fairies. Little fairies, little twinkly light people that exist?
Yes. Well, not... Like I said, I'm a big YouTuber. I watch so much YouTube. I watch paranormal stuff on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. And I really do my research on paranormal on YouTube. I don't really research it, but I just watch it because it's interesting to
mm-hmm.
me. And there's so many different types of fairies that there is. There's those little evil fairies. There's good pixie fairies. There's all those different kinds of fairies. Tinkerbell, all those good fairies.
I always laugh. You know, everybody
fairies.
Always says, oh, fairies aren't real. Disney ruined real fairies. They made them all sweet and kind like Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell was horrible. She tried to kill Wendy, right? She tried to turn Peter Pan into Captain Hook. She caused a lot of trouble.
She did.
Fairies are, you know, I was very reluctant to believe this, and I don't know if you guys know this, but there are different parts of the country that still, of the world, that still believe in
like
fairies.
England or whatever.
England and Ireland. Uh-huh. As a matter of fact, when you're going through Ireland, there are bushes that uh-huh. you have to go around because they're fairy bushes, and you're not supposed to bother them. And if you upset them, it can ruin your land, it can bring you bad luck. So you have to leave these fairy bushes. And you can go leave something as a gift to them, something personal. So, like, I took off one of my Benedictine bracelets and I left it hanging on a fairy bush in Ireland to kind of appease them as a gift to the fairies. Some people were taking out strands of their own hair and tying them to the bush.
Wow.
Because it was something personal that they felt it was like a gift to the fairies, right?
That's something that my teacher brought up last year. Like, he said that, I can't remember if it was, like, here or something, but they said that they used to have like fairy gardens or whatever on the sides of the roads and stuff like that.
Yeah, they still exist. And then there's places like in Iceland where they won't go. They've diverted roads that they were building because they were afraid that they came into trolls' villages.
Seriously?
So they've had to change laws and roads. Right. So these things do exist. You'd think in 2017 we're a more enlightened species and we would know that these things aren't true. But some of these older cultures, very highly intelligent cultures. I mean, think about this. Governments have stopped production of roads to divert them in order not to mess with trolls or fairy folk or little people. And that's why, you know, I that's what fascinates me so much is it's so deeply entrenched in their culture and belief system that they will divert million-dollar roadways to avoid bothering a troll's nest or a fairy tree. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fairies has always been a hard one for me, but I've talked to so many people and I've seen things that are really neat. I've been in haunted locations like the Queen Mary, and I've seen these sparkles that appear. Now, I don't know if it's the ghosts and it's part of the energy of them coming into our world or mm-hmm. into our realm, mm-hmm. but I've seen these sparkles that'll appear out of nowhere. Grandma has seen them when we would go to places like Waverly Hills or the Queen Mary or mm-hmm. even at the Stanley Hotel. Now, could that be what fairies were? Now, with that said, I'll also tell you that a lot of times stories about fairies and trolls and these creatures were ways to control children. Right? Because mm-hmm. if you went off into the woods by yourself, the fairy folk might get you. Right?
Yeah.
So that was a way to keep your kids from going places where they could be in danger because there were really wild animals out there. Well, wild animals can look fun and cute and you want to play with them, but you don't want to go out and mess with the fairy folk because they'll grab you and they'll put you in their fairy circles and you'll be forced to dance until you die. Mm-hmm. Right? That's real stories. Real belief systems. So part of it was this fable to try to control children with fear. And, you know, Dad would never do that. I would never try to control you with fear, would I?
Okay.
All right. So fairies, that's something that's intriguing. What do you think? Do you think fairies exist, Ripley?
Kind of, because, like I said, like the fairy gardens and stuff like that, because, like, like I said, there are fairy gardens and, like...
And you think because people do put so much emphasis in that and interest in that, you think that's what does lead some credence that these things are real?
Yeah, because who would just, like... Why would there be little fairy homes on the side, on, like, bushes and stuff like
decorations.
That?
Decorations.
Or just, like...
Could just be decorations. We put garden gnomes in our gardens, don't we? I mean, we don't because we don't garden. I don't go outdoors, right? All right, what do you think a ghost really is, Ripley?
I don't know. Just like a spirit? I don't know.
Do you think that a ghost is really you die and your soul is hanging around? Do you think that a ghost is maybe a memory that you have that's playing in your mind and you think you see it or think you hear it because it's part of your memories? What do you think about something like that, Pacey?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, what do you think a ghost is? Do you, you know, you believe in ghosts?
Yeah.
So, and you've seen things, right? You've mm-hmm. experienced things. What do you think they really are?
I think that they're spirits. That it's when you pass away, I think that your soul or something, whatever, like your soul goes mm-hmm. up to heaven and your spirit stays down here.
Oh, so you think the soul and the spirit are two different things?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Because I think a spirit's kind of more like, I think that your soul is like you. It's kind of hard to explain.
Let me explain a story to you, a theory, and mm-hmm. tell me if this kind of fits. And I like the way you said it. So you think the soul is you. It's mm-hmm. the essence, the best part of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a very famous theory. We call it the Bay Theory, and that is that when we die, the best of who we are, our soul, goes to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the not-so-good part of us, our jealousy, anger, that kind of stuff, that stays behind, and that's the spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what may be ghosting people, and maybe it's that base animal instinct that continues to haunt a location. And that's why when they do reach out to you and they try to make communication, it's just boom, 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 or get out, right? It's very base animal instinct. Instead of conscious memory, it's just like kind of what's left over after your soul has departed. What do you think of that?
I think that's pretty close to...
To what you were thinking?
Yeah. But, I mean, there is those good spirits too, and, you know...
Do you think those are angels? Let's talk about angels a little bit. Do you believe in angels?
Yes.
Why?
I just believe that, I mean,
take your time to put it together.
If you are in, like, a horrible situation.
Right.
Something really bad is about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
and then something stops it mm-hmm. from happening. Do you really think that that bad person or that mean person or whatever is just telling himself, okay, you know what, I'm going to be nice to Pacey, or I'm going to be nice to this person today, instead of just being...
So you think it's angelic intervention if something happens like that?
I think that they're... I think there's more. It's more of a guardian angel more than an angel.
Think that you have like a spirit angel, like maybe a loved one or relative that stays with you, that guides you and watches over you?
Maybe. I think I've always thought of it as, you know, God sends down an angel, someone that maybe you don't know, that, you know, when you pass away, that angel will help you go.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Did I ever tell you my angel story?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it was in 1988, and I was going to be a dad, and I decided I wanted to go to college so I could try to make something of myself, right? And I drove to Winona State to take the ACT to try to get accepted into college, all right? Now, I'd never driven there before, and you know I don't like driving, and I'm bad at directions, but I had to drive.
I remember the story.
Yeah, and I was driving, and I had an old 69 Plymouth Fury, okay? And I'm driving to Winona, and all of a sudden, I get not far away from Winona, and my car starts acting up, and then all of a sudden, steam comes pouring out from underneath my hood. And Ripley, can you tell people in a nutshell, how much does Daddy know about broken cars?
Nothing.
Right. Thank you for being clear and decisive.
Dad, you don't know anything about any kind of mechanics or fixing anything.
All right, all right. Let's not get mean now.
Like those cars, like that thing that you tried to make came.
Oh, well, yeah. No, that was a soapbox derby car. But anyway, so I limp off the road. I drag my car up and I go to this wayside, right? This park wayside. And I pull in. And I'm all alone. There's one old rust bucket car sitting there. That's it. There's nobody else. And I go over and I open the hood. Now, what I think I was looking for, I don't know. I was hoping that something, you know, that heaven would open up a light and I would see the problem and I could just stick a piece of gum on it and fix it and be out of there. And I couldn't tell. It was just steamy and hot under my hood. And I only had enough money to get to Winona to college to take my ACT, enough to eat and get my gas filled and get me back home. When all of a sudden, out of the woods, this man comes walking. And he looks like Jesus. I mean, he's wearing dirty jeans and a t-shirt. He's barefoot, but he's got the long hair and he's got the beard. And he comes walking up to me and he goes, "What's going on, man?" And I'm like, "Well, my car broke down. I'm trying to get to college, take my ACT. I'm going to be a dad. I'm trying to start my life. I don't know what to do. And now this happened." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Wow, this is tough." And he goes, "Well, I'll tell you what. Let me go see." And he goes walking over to his car and pops open his trunk. All right. And in his trunk, he has a little nasty toolbox, right? Mm-hmm. He brings it over to me and he looks in my car and he goes, "Oh, yeah." And remember, Daddy knows nothing about cars.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what this thing was called. But he goes, "We'll call it a flugelhopper right now." He goes, "Oh, dude, your flugelhopper's gone. Mm-hmm. You blew the flugelhopper." And I'm like, "No, not the flugelhopper. What are we going to do?" And he goes, "Well, look at this." And he reaches into his box and he pulls out this little plastic bag. And in it was this little rubbery black cappy looking thing. And he goes, "I happen to have a flugelhopper. I wonder if it'll fit on your car." I said, "I don't know." So he reached down and he tore off the old one that was all blown out. Mm-hmm. And he slid the new one right on. And it fit perfectly. I don't even know what this thing was. It was a flugelhopper. That's all I know. So he puts it on there and he says, "All right, now you got to let your engine cool down." He gives me an empty water jug. He sends me over to fill it up. And he says, "In about a half an hour, you want to fill up your radiator with water again. And then this will get you there safely and get you home and you'll be okay." And I said, "Okay, great. Thanks." And he just kind of stood there and looked at me. And I'm like, "Oh man, I don't have any money. I'm really sorry. I don't have any money to pay you. The money I have, I've got to use to pay for my test and to get me to Winona and get me back home." And he gives me this big smile and he just looks at me and he goes, "No, the best way you could repay me is just do something nice for somebody else that you don't know one day." And then he just turned around and he walked back into the woods.
I remember this story.
Right. So this to me, I think, was an angel. or a dirty hobo that just happened to have a flugelhopper I needed, right?
Well,
but that, do you think that that was an angel encounter? I mean, out of all the places in the middle of the night that I could have broken down and pulled into, and there just happens to be one car, one man comes out of the woods who looks like Jesus, and in his trunk, he has one beat up old box, and in that box happens to have one little flugelhopper in a baggie, and it fits my car perfectly. Do you think that's a miracle? Do you think that's an angel?
Yes.
Yes.
But I have one question for you, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't you a little creeped out by a man walking in and out of the woods?
That kind of looked like dirty and stuff.
Yes. I was worried I was going to get jumped at first because I was a handsome boy. And I was alone at a rest stop. I didn't know what was going to happen. But he never acted. He acted very calm the whole time. And he just strolled right up and, hey, man, what's going on? And he was so cool about it. So I believe that that was a moment where I had an angel encounter. Another time, let me get your point on this. After I had my visitation from our grandpa after he died and he came to me, a few days later, I'm driving down the road. And this is when I lived in Illinois. And I had a little bitty car, right? And it was raining. And we're coming up to a stoplight and I hit the brakes. And my car locks up and starts to slide. And there are two huge trucks right in front of me.
Whoa.
And my car slides. And I'm coming into the back of this truck. And I'm thinking, this thing's going to tear the top of my car off and kill me and my girlfriend. You know, I'm sliding into this thing fast. I let go of my steering wheel. I put my hands on my head. And I just said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. My car turns in between the two trucks. Goes all the way up to the stop. And then the car stops and shuts itself off.
Oh my God.
The engine just goes boom, and that's it. You could roll down my window or my girlfriend's window and literally just stick your finger out and touch the trucks. We were that close.
Holy.
Yeah. So that was a moment that I've always felt was angelic intervention. Now, do you think that was an angel, or do you think that was just really interesting coincidence?
Oh, I think that it was an angel or God or something, you know, helping you because
there's been a lot of times that like things like that have happened to you. So,
all right. Well, why do you think that is? Let me ask you that. And I'm not looking for you to stroke my ego or tell me how amazing I am, but you know that I've escaped deadly situations on numerous mm-hmm. occasions, and I've been in places where I probably could have been hurt very badly, mm-hmm. and I didn't. Why do you think that I'm still here?
Or are you still here?
Get out of my head, kid. You're freaking me out. So maybe I am a ghost and I just don't know it. And you two are just sitting here playing the Sixth Sense with me, talking to an empty room and a microphone. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
For the past 11 years.
For the past 11 years. God, that'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? Why do you think, though? I mean, isn't that pretty weird?
Yeah. I think that there's probably been something.
Divine intervention?
Guarding you.
Mm-hmm. Well, then why didn't it guard me from nicer kids? Shouldn't I? Oh, just kidding. I love you, little Moppets. All right. What other questions do you guys have for me about the paranormal? What's something you've always wanted to know?
What's your biggest fear? Or, like, not like death or anything, but like.
Okay. All right. You're asking, am I afraid of anything? Well, first of all, I'm your dad. I'm afraid of nothing, and I can protect you from everything. I've never been in a place that has scared me. I've never had an experience where I felt like something was trying to get me or kill me. Or what are you giving me that look for, Pacey?
Dad, I have a little story.
Okay.
Remember when we went up to Craigan's?
Yes, because I love my children. You were going to be going away for the summer. I took us out to a resort so that we could fish and we could play games and we could paddle boat and we could have the greatest time of our lives because I love you all so much. Yes, I remember that. What about it?
All right, everybody. So I'm going to tell you a little story about when my dad got scared. Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody just turn off your radio. Thank you for tuning into the best in paranormal talk radio.
So, about probably like 1 or 2 in the morning, Dad got up. We were sleeping in our hotel room. He got up and went to the bathroom, and it woke me up because he turned on the bathroom light before he shut the door. So that light woke me up, and I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, you know, I was kind of trying to make up a little master plan here to see if my dad was actually scared of something. So the sink didn't come down, and it was, like, kind of just, like, open. The pipes were there and everything. It was just, like, a counter, and there was nothing under it. There was no cabinets or anything. So I was like, you know, I'm going to scare him. So I was like, you know, I'll just stand by this door, and then I'll pop out. But then I was like, no, I have a greater idea. So I sat underneath the sink so that when my dad came out to wash his hands, I would have a little scare for him.
I remember this like it was yesterday. I went to the bathroom, I came out, washed my hands, and I went to bed and nothing ever happened and I was perfectly fine. Totally remember it.
Wrong.
Well, okay.
He came out, started to wash his hands, and then I was like, okay, so should I just jump out and be like, boo, or should I do something else? So I decided, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to grab his leg. So I grabbed his leg.
Yes, I remember. You grabbed my leg, to which I quickly ninja kicked you underneath the sink and grabbed you by the hair, threw you against the wall, realized it was you, but I was ready to battle to protect you and your sisters and brothers in that room. And then I was able to calm myself down and we could all go back to sleep. I remember that night very, what do you mean, Ripley?
Nope.
No, that wasn't, that's not how it happened?
Dad.
What?
I grabbed you by the leg and I swear I heard a scream of a little girl.
Well, it was probably your sister Ripley because she was very close by, and you know how jumpy she is, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much to make her squeal. So that obviously was it, because there's no way I would be frightened by a hand reaching out from underneath a darkened sink at 1 o'clock in the morning, grabbing my leg.
Well, when I grabbed his leg, I started to panic because I didn't want him to start kicking me. So I quickly put my head out and I was like, "Hey, Dad." And he's like, "Oh my God, you scare me."
Well, yeah, that was a different moment, though. I was just merely worried for your safety because I knew that my ninja-like skills could have broken your neck and killed you. No?
Wow.
Okay. Do you remember that time when I was really little and I ran into the bedroom and you thought I was a bird or something because I was running super fast?
No. Here's what happened. No. This is it. I'll tell the honest to God story. There was a spate of these sightings of these little, like, Jawa figures. They were all very short in cloaks, and they would be seen. They saw them in Eastern State Penitentiary on the Ghost Hunters TV show. They'd seen them on Paranormal State TV show. There was just this weird spate of people seeing these very small figures that looked almost like children wearing a cloak. And this is when I was married to Mommy, and I was sleeping on the side of the bed closest to the window. Mm-hmm. Mom was right by the door. Uh-huh. So I woke up to something moving away from me. That means it had to have come in the door, come all the way to my side of the bed without me noticing. And I'm a pretty light sleeper. So I open my eyes and I see something moving and it's running around the bed fast. And it's heading towards Mom's side of the bed. And this was a real instance where I was very brave and I saw this thing. And I threw my arm and leg over Mom, and I reached down, and I grabbed it by the neck, and I cocked my fist back, ready to punch it. And then I heard...
I don't know.
Daddy? And I went, oh, Pacey. And you go, why you hold my neck? And I go, Daddy's just hugging you, honey. And I almost punched you really hard that night because I thought you were one of those creepy little Jawa figures running around in my room.
She probably have a huge bruise on her face.
Well, thankfully, I didn't. I didn't choke her. I didn't punch her. But yes, that was a weird moment. Now, do you know? You want to know another freaky moment?
For me, includes you? Sure.
Yes. All right. So, again, this was when I was living at home, right? Mm-hmm. And I had fallen asleep downstairs in the basement, right?
Wait, at the old blue house?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mom came down in the middle of the night with Linus, and this is before you were around, Ripley.
Yes, I remember.
Come on. So,
I think.
Right. So, Linus, she goes, tell Dad what's going on. And Linus goes, Daddy, I saw a shadow in my room and it was running around. It was Pacey. And I go, no, honey, Pacey's sleeping. She's in her crib. He goes, no, Daddy, it was Pacey. She was running around in my room. And I said, honey, Pacey can barely crawl. She can't run. She can barely stand up. She doesn't run. He goes, no, Daddy, she was running around in my room. Now, he liked Peter Pan, so I was thinking he was just having some kind of dream, right? Mm-hmm. And I told my wife, I go, it's fine. And she goes, well, he won't shut up about it. I'm tired. I got to work in the morning. I said, okay, he can sleep down here with me. And she goes, well, that's not the only part. Tell him the rest. Oh, right? And I'm like, okay, what? And he goes, well, then there's the little boy on my top bunk, Daddy.
Oh, this part's creepy.
I said, well, that's your brother Nathan. And he goes, no, Daddy, Nathan's sleeping. This little boy's sitting on the top stair. And he's looking at me like this. And he lowers his head. And he looks at me from underneath his eyebrows. And you know your brother. He's a cute little redhead with spotty freckles everywhere, right?
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, he looked so creepy looking down at me. And I, of course, being the strong, caring dad that I am, said, okay, well, we're fine down here. We'll just sleep down here. And I laid there, and I was freaking out because Mom went back up to bed. She didn't believe in all this stuff, right?
She still doesn't.
Right. Well, I'll tell you a funny story about that in a second. So she doesn't believe in all this. She just rolls her eyes, goes up to bed. Now, I'm feeling really guilty because maybe my son, Nathan, is sitting in bed with a ghost. So I'm laying there, and I'm like, God, you're being a jerk. You got to get up. You got to go take care of this. So I tell Linus, all right, you stay here. I take a deep breath. And now I'm only wearing my boxer shorts and a t-shirt, right? And I start storming up the stairs, flipping lights on the whole way. I'm like, there better not be anything in this house. And I swear to God, if there's something up here, I'm going to have Jesus and God throw you through the fiery pits of hell. And I'm making all this racket. And your mom sits up in bed and stares at me like, what the hell's wrong with you? You're going to wake the baby. And I go storming into the room. And I was shaking because the idea that there was somebody in the room with my kid, it was freaking me out.
I wouldn't even want, like, if I was Linus, I would probably be attached to you.
Well, no, Linus stayed downstairs where it was safe. So I went upstairs, and I threw open the door, and there was nothing there. And then I took Nathan, and we all slept downstairs. And the next day, I did a full clearing and cleansing on your room. But there was another time where you creeped me out, and I'd come back from one of my events, and you were maybe like 3 or 4. And you were standing on the bathroom sink because you used to like to watch me brush my teeth.
Oh, uh-huh.
You were standing on the bathroom sink and I'm brushing my teeth. And you go, oh, who's that? And I said, who's what? And you point in the mirror into your brother's room. And you said, who's that standing there? And there was nobody there. And I'm like, and I turn around real slow. I go, there's nobody there, Pacey. And you go, yeah, Daddy, that woman is standing right there looking at us.
I seriously said
You freaked me out so bad with that. So, yeah, that was a fun time. But now, here's the story about Mom. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's late one night, right? I've fallen asleep. Mom comes downstairs with you this time. And she goes, and you're little, right? You're maybe like 3 or 4. And she goes, David, talk to your daughter. And I go, what's wrong? And you start telling me about seeing Mommy's shadow flying around in the room.
Oh, my God. I remember this. This was so scary. I still
you do remember this?
It. Yes.
Okay, cool. So you were very little, and you said that you saw Mommy's shadow flying around in your room, and it sat on your tent.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Right?
My tent was popped open,
yep.
And everywhere I looked, it was Mom's face.
Right. Now, here's where it gets
it
even
so
weirder,
creepy.
Right? So Mom's really pissed because, again, you're bringing all this paranormal stuff, and the kids are hearing this, and they're imagining this and that and the other. And I said, okay, well, I'll keep Pacey down here, and you'll sleep with me because you used to sleep on the floor. I can't sleep well in beds long, so I sleep on the couch and the chair, and I move around. So I'm sleeping on the couch. I make a nice little bed for you downstairs. Mm-hmm. I've got my phone up on the banister, and about 10 minutes later, my phone starts to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I go,
I know this.
I didn't know.
And
Mom
I go,
did this.
Right. And I go, okay. And I look at the phone, and it's Mom. I can see because her picture pops up. I flip open my phone. I go, what? And she goes, David, come up to our room. And I'm thinking, all right, she doesn't like me a whole lot nowadays. I don't know why she wants me to come to her room. And I go, what's wrong? And she goes, there's something in the room with me. And I said, what? Something came in the room. And Mom doesn't believe in this stuff. So I go, okay. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have much hair, but what I had was standing on end, right? I had to go upstairs. It freaked Mom out so bad. She made me collect all of you kids and bring you into the room. And we all slept together in the bed that night. Yeah, you were there. You were a baby because Ripley or Pacey was about three or four years old.
So I was probably like 1 or 2.
Yeah, you were about 1.5. And so we all ended up sleeping in the room together that night. But what she saw was this shadow walked into the room, stopped and looked at her, and then turned towards my computer desk. You remember where my computer desk was by the window?
No.
So when you walked into mom's bedroom,
immediately
to the left was the desk with the computer. And it walked over and looked. And as soon as mom went, it turned and looked at her and then walked back out of the room. So for somebody who says she doesn't believe in it, that's what she saw.
I'm going to ask her about that.
Yeah, feel free to. Well, you remember when you saw
the so creepy.
Shadow
yelling,
of mom.
Mom, yep. I was yelling at her because, oh my God, that thing creeped me out.
Perfect.
How scary mom is, that creeps me out.
Well, what part creeps you out? The fact that she was flying around your room or the fact that mom just creeps you out?
The fact that she was flying around my room and she creeps me out. No, it was so creepy because every time that I looked in a new position, it was like, can you imagine, like, you know, like those cardboard cutouts of those people's faces, like, big?
Yeah.
It was like that, but it was like everywhere I looked, it was like her face. I was like,
yeah.
It was so creepy.
So I had to do a couple clearings in our house, and that's what made me very protective. And I started doing protection spells, or not spells, but protective prayers and things to keep darkness away. But I don't believe anything's going to hurt us. I believe that we're a very strong family, and I don't bring anything home. I think the little boy that lives here, I think, is probably just residual energy from your brother Linus, because it just it sounds like him, and it's always playing in his room. Although the ghost in my closet. That's the thing that weirds me out. Now, would you stay in there alone in my closet?
That's why I never
go
in there.
I have done that before, many of times. With
in
the
dark?
Off. Yeah,
really?
I didn't see
Do you ever feel anything?
All the way closed.
And have you ever felt anything? Grandma didn't used to like it in here. She would make me shut the bedroom door.
I mean, the
closet door.
I don't feel anything.
It doesn't really bother me anymore. It doesn't bother me.
So those are some of our fun ghosty stories from our family. What scares me? What really scares me? I guess. Sit still. You're shaking the whole table here. I guess what really scares me is more the idea of alien abduction and maybe being taken away. And although I'm really fascinated by aliens and I've seen what I believe was a UFO, do you remember seeing UFOs with Dad?
No.
After I went to the Isetti Ranch, I guess that would have been 2006, so you would only be a year old. It was your sister Kayla and Braden that we saw these with. And I think it might have been Cliff. Cliff, Kayla, and Braden. And Nunu, Nathan, I think saw him. Because I think Nunu went into your grandma and grandpa's and he goes, "There's aliens outside!" And Grandpa John and Grandma Jean just shook their heads and laughed. Mm-hmm. But we saw lights in the skies. Dancing around in the skies. We'd gone out there to look for UFOs because it's so dark and black skies over there. And what part of Minnesota are they living in?
Like St. Francis.
Yeah, St. Francis. So we were looking, and I had Kayla and cousin Braden laying on the hood of the car. And they're looking up at the sky. And all of a sudden, Kayla goes, "Look, Daddy, I see one." And Braden goes, "Yeah, Uncle Dave, look." And I look, and they're pointing at different parts of the sky. And there are two lights that are moving through the sky. And all of a sudden, they start to dance together
That's
and move around.
Neat.
It was really cool. And we really were just blown away. It was really kind of a neat deal. I'd never seen anything like that.
Neat.
And at first, I thought it was like fireflies.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't. These things were moving around in the sky.
That's
and you
cool.
could tell that they weren't fireflies. They weren't blinking on and off. They weren't big. They weren't fluttery. These things were zipping all around. And then they blasted off in different directions. So that's why I'm so fascinated by this. Every time I think I start to understand it, anytime I start to think that this is all hooey and goofy, something like that happens. It reignites my imagination and gets me back onto this path of investigation.
Uh-huh.
So I have a great time with it. Does it freak you out or bother you what your dad does?
No.
How about you, Ripley?
No, not really.
How about your friends? Do they ever get freaked out?
No, my friends want to go to...
Really?
One of my friends wants to go ghost hunting at the...
Excellent. Excellent. I like the sound of that. Well, ladies, we don't have a whole lot of time left. It's getting close to your bedtime.
Past mine.
Yeah. Now, talk to me. Is there anything else that you always wanted to know about the paranormal? Anything else that really interests you?
Let me think.
And, you know, here's something that I'm interested in. And I've asked some of the biggest celebrities I've had on the show this question. There's three doors. Behind one door is ultimate proof that aliens exist. Behind another door is ultimate proof that Bigfoot exists. Behind the third door is ultimate proof that a ghost exists. But you can only open one door and know for sure only one of those things really exists. Which door would you open, Pacey?
I would open... aliens, because all the things that I've seen, and or not that I've seen, but you know, I've heard and people have told stories about, I really would want to see that. And I've had ghost experiences, so I think that there's definitely spirits and ghosts around. And Bigfoot,
but you want proof of something different. You want to see aliens. And what were you going to say about Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, I think that's, on my scale, the least, you know, kind of thing that
least
I,
important thing for you to see. Yeah. You already believe in ghosts, so you'd want to see aliens.
Yes.
All right, Ripley. Behind one door, Bigfoot. Behind another door, ghosts. And behind the third door, Justin Bieber. Which door would you want to open most?
Aliens. Justin Bieber would be last.
Would you open up Justin Bieber's door so the aliens could go abduct him at least?
Yes.
All right, I like that answer. Why would you look for the aliens? Why does that intrigue you so much?
I would look for the aliens because, like, I would look for ghosts and aliens because the ghosts, I've never had an encounter, and aliens, I've never, like, and aliens just seem cool, even though, like, aliens can just be, like, people from different places in the world.
In the planet, right? In the universe?
Yeah. And so, basically, I want to have an experience with, like, the aliens, like, from outer space that people say.
What if they said, though, we're going to land, but we're going to take you, and you can only say goodbye to your family once, and then you'll never see them again. Would you still want to go and see the whole universe?
No, because it takes too long.
What about you, Pacey? Would you, if you could say goodbye to your family first so that you could say goodbye to them, they knew you were safe, would you then go off with an alien in a UFO?
Yes.
What? You would leave me behind?
I'm sorry, but I would have to.
You're the worst daughter ever named Pacey I've ever had.
I would just kick their faces and stuff.
Well, why would you kick the aliens' faces?
I take a picture first, and then, like, I would...
A blurry picture and post it on Dad's website?
Yeah, I would hurt them, so then I could get away from them and then run back home.
All right.
Well, then bad things will probably happen
to you. Yeah, it might happen.
Do I care?
Yep. All right. Any questions about any aspect of the paranormal before we say goodbye? Anything else you want to know? Anything you want to share? A story? Something? Now, we had an experience, you and I, Pacey. Should we tell them about our experience at the Palmer House Hotel before we say goodbye? All right. So we had gone to the Palmer House, and we were doing a little investigation one night, and you guys had tried to spook me by going into the Lucy's room. Do you remember what you did?
They had this creepy clown, big doll kind of thing, and it's kind of a joke for all the people that, like, work there. They always move it around, try to scare everybody in.
Right, so, but they do that on purpose, and they admit to doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not like, I don't...
And it's a creepy clown.
Yeah.
So you and your brother snuck in earlier and put this clown in the bed.
Uh-huh.
So that when I'd open the door, I'd see this thing staring at me.
Uh-huh.
Well, what you guys didn't know was when I was nervous and jumped back wasn't because I was afraid I walked in on a clown.
Uh-huh.
I thought somebody had checked into the room, and we accidentally went into the room where somebody was. So when I jumped back, then you guys laughed and then told me what you did. We went in. But do you remember? It was just you and I that time. So tell people what happened. We walked into the room, and in Lucy's room, Lucy is the ghost. She doesn't really seem to like men a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't like when people mess in her room a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But this was kind of a cool deal. Tell people about when you open the door all the way. What's it like?
Okay, so when you open the door all the way, and we had the door open all the way, the carpet rises, so you have to really pull to shut the door. And I was standing by the door holding the SLS camera. If you don't know what that is, then...
Look it up.
Yeah, look
go
it
to
up.
digitaldowsing.com. That's digitaldowsing.com.
Yeah, an SLS camera. That's my favorite equipment to use because I think that it's pretty fascinating that you can actually see stick figures and see the figure standing there. But, you know, I was standing by the door, and Dad was standing right behind Lucy's chair.
Right.
And I was scanning my dad because I'm like... trying to look for something over my dad. Because, you know, I'm in the corner of the room. I'm thinking it's going to be everywhere else but where I'm at. But since I think of it now, again, she doesn't like men.
Right.
So she, and every time that I've gone in there and Linus has held the SLS camera at me, Lucy's always been standing next to me. And
So what happened when we were in that room?
So we were standing there, and I have no clue why, but usually you get cold when there's a spirit around, but my mm-hmm. back got on fire. Like, there was a fire burning my shirt. I don't know.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the door slams shut, and the next second, I realize I'm holding onto Dad's arm, and I'm, oh, my God, what's happening?
Right. Well, let's go back to the room now, Dad, right? So we went back to the room.
Well, actually, we stayed in there and looked in the bathroom and everything.
Right, to check. But, all right, so then we went back with your big brother, Linus, right? And we brought our shack hack, right? Mm-hmm. The spirit box. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to reach out and try to communicate, and we're getting nothing, right? It's just... And we're asking for the ghost of Lucy to come forward and talk to us. And we don't get any answer. Now, the ghost of Raymond supposedly lives in the room across the hall. Uh-huh. And he's kind of the big boss ghost of that floor.
Uh-huh.
So we called on Raymond, remember? Mm-hmm. I was trying something different. Tell him what happened.
So we were trying to ask questions for Lucy and stuff like that. And then we were like... We weren't getting any responses. We were like, do you want us to leave? Do you want us, to get out and stuff like that? And then all of a sudden you just keep hearing repeatedly, get out. Because...
Well, remember, we asked, Raymond, are you here?
Uh-huh.
And remember, all of a sudden, all the stops and we hear a male voice go, yes.
Yeah.
And that was very clear.
Uh-huh.
And then we said, are you mad that we're here? And so many people have been coming in and out of this room. Uh-huh. And then what did it say?
It said, get out.
And how many times did it say that?
It said that, like, I don't know, like five times.
Get out. Get out. It was doing that, right?
Uh-huh.
Was that pretty freaky?
I mean, I thought that it was cool.
Did it scare you, though?
No.
No? Would you go back to the Palmer House again?
Yes.
You love the Palmer House?
I love the Palmer House.
That's very cool. How about you, Ripley? Have you seen anything or witnessed anything paranormal at the Palmer House?
No. The only thing pretty much is like, so when we were down in the furnace room, there were these two people sitting in the corner. And then this one dude was like, I can feel something behind us. And like, because there was a older lady and then a man, probably like a little bit younger than Dad. And I had the SLS camera in my hand. And he's like, I can feel something behind us. So then I switched over the SLS camera and there was nothing there. And he's like, I can still feel it. And I'm like, well, there's nothing there. So that happened. And then...
That's a non-ghost story.
I know.
I was looking for a good ghost story to wrap it up. Did you have any experiences there you felt like there was something around?
No, not really. Just down in the... Oh, yes, I remember.
Well,
down
okay.
in the basement. Me, my next-door neighbor, Pacey, and my brother and some other people went down in the basement for, like, a little tour thing. And we went down there, and we started hearing footsteps, like, down the stairs and kind of a little bit above us. So we're like, oh, it's probably just Dad doing something. But he was in the shower when we left, I think. And so we thought it was just him coming back from the shower trying to scare us. But then we went back upstairs and Dad was still up in the room or like down in the kitchen or something. And it was creepy because a couple days after, I was talking to my next door neighbor who was down there. And I'm like, I don't think that was Dad that was playing around. I think it might have been something else. Like
so, see, was that pretty exciting to know that you had that kind of experience?
Kind of. It was a little scary, but it was cool at the same time.
All right. Well, in wrapping up, let me start off with you, Ripley, the youngest contingent of our little family here tonight. If there were kids that were interested in investigating and learning more about the paranormal, would you tell them to not do that? Would you tell them to wait till they're older? Or do you think it's a good idea to start educating yourself early and going and trying these things?
Early, so then you can kind of get a better perspective of what you're supposed to do. Because when you start when you're a little bit older, you kind of probably lose a little bit of interest in that type of stuff. So when you're younger, you can educate yourself and then get, like, a better perspective, and then if you...
But always go with an adult and a responsible adult, right?
Yeah.
All right, good answer. All right, Pacey, what piece of advice would you have for kids or teens that are interested in getting into ghost hunting?
For sure, probably go with somebody that's experienced and has done this before. And
should you treat it as a joke and laughing it off and be goofy and disrespectful?
No.
Really? Why?
I think because just because they're ghosts doesn't mean that you don't have to pay them respect. Like when we were in Lucy's room, Linus was like, oh, you're just scared to sit in Lucy's chair. I'm like, no, that's her chair. I can sit in the chair next to her, but that's her chair.
Very good. I'm very proud of you guys. You've grown up to be very respectful of the paranormal. Well, thank you guys for tuning in and spending a little time with us for Beyond the Darkness, the Best in Paranormal Radio. It's been probably one of my favorite episodes, and I want to thank my lovely assistants and hosts this evening. Miss Ripley Schrader, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And, of course, your older sister, the equally lovely and talented Miss Pacey, Paranormal Pacey, thank you for being here and sharing your stories and embarrassing Dad adequately.
You are very welcome.
Well, that's it for tonight. Remember, be kind, love one another, and we'll be back with you tomorrow with more of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. And tomorrow, it's the witching season. We'll be talking about witches and Halloween and Salem and more right here on Beyond the Darkness.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/IHEART for 40% off. Terms apply.